Good afternoon. It's wonderful to be here during the week and not just on a Sunday. We welcome you to our Good Friday service and thankful for all of you being here. We have several churches that are representative and it's good to have you here. So welcome. So we go through the service today. We pray that God will fill us with His Holy Spirit, that we can place ourselves back in the time of that day that Jesus was crucified, that we remember what He has done for us. So let us now praise Him and worship Him in our service today. Would you please stand for the call to worship? Christ Himself bore our sins in His body on the tree. Christ was lifted high upon the cross so that He might draw the whole world to Himself. Let us pray, and your part will be the response in bold. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed into the hands of sinners and to suffer death upon the cross, who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Let us now sing, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded. It's in our hymnal 286, but it's also on the screen. Be seated. I welcome Steve Sheridan from the Presbyterian Church to read Psalm 22.
Good morning. This is from the book of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In our ancestors trusted, they trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me, they shake their heads, commit their cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe at my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth. And since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. My bulls encircle me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs are all around me. A company of evildoers encircle me, and my hands and feet are shriveled. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes amongst themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. From the horns of the wild oxen you have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all of you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me. He did not, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your heart live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow down all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. May God add his blessings upon the reading of this word.
Amen. You would stand as Abel will sing, "Were You There?" may be seated. I've asked Pastor Bob Schwach to give us our pastoral prayer. He is a retired United Methodist. Welcome.
Let us bow together. Dear God, we know the noise of 1,000 Palm Sundays and the disappointments of more crucifixions. We welcome into your presence in confession how we have participated in all that pains your heart. We pray to be delivered from false values, selfish desire, and worship of things, that we may not waste our lives in the pursuit of things with no eternal significance. Guard us this week from betraying our Christ as Judas did for a few pieces of silver or a promotion at the office or a quick thrill, a cheap victory over an enemy, or not attending church because we are angry at someone. Let us daily to our place of prayer, that we may empty ourselves and know your will and have courage to do it. Strengthen us for the betrayals and crucifixions we face, that we may triumph through faith and love, and that we may know our hearts and minds the power of your resurrection. Grant health to the sickly, wholeness to the broken. Let grace overflow like a fountain in our own lives, nurturing our affection for mercy, peace, and goodness. Guide us into the ministries of healing and response to the needs of your people. In the name of Jesus, who died for us, amen.
Our New Testament reading will be by James Burroughs. He's from the Deckerville United Methodist Church. Welcome. No, you're fine.
Good afternoon. I will be reading from Hebrews 10, 16 through 25. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and I will write my laws on their minds. He also adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
That is the word of God for the people of God. Let us respond. Thanks be to God. We now stand for number 2113. It's in the little black book in front of you and on the screen, Lamb of God.
Thank you.
You may be seated. This afternoon, our offering is going to be taken up to help our community as we come together as the body of Christ. Those proceeds will go to the school backpack program. So give as you desire, as God speaks to you, that we may help the 75 hungry children that we help support in our community. The ushers may please come forward. Let us pray. Oh, holy God, we are so thankful that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us, that he may take away our sins, that we may be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we may now be your hands and feet to reach out like these children need us. Thank you for these gifts. In the name of the risen Christ. Amen. Today we're going to do a gospel reading, and Steve and I will share together. He will read chapter 18, and I will continue with 19. If you have your Bible with us, or you may turn in the Pew Bible to John 18.
Okay, this deals with the betrayal and arrest of Jesus. After Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought a detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees. And they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen, came forward and asked them, whom are you looking for? They answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus replied, I am he. Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, I am he, they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go. This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken. I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me. Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter, put your sword back in its sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me? Jesus is now before the high priest. So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. They took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Peter denies Jesus. Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus. Since the disciple was known to be the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the woman who guarded the gate and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter, You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? And he said, I am not. Now the slaves and the police had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves. Peter was also standing with them and warming himself. The high priest questions Jesus. Then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. Jesus answered, I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard what I have said to them. They know what I said. When he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus in the face, saying, Is that how you answer the high priest? And Jesus answered, If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you strike me? Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Peter denies Jesus again. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. They asked him, You are not also one of the disciples, are you? And he denied it again and said, I am not. One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, Did I not see you in the garden with him? Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment the cock crowed. Jesus before Pilate. Then he took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. It was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat at the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said, What accusation do you bring against this man? They answered, If this man were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you. Pilate said to them, Take him yourselves and judge him according to your law. The Jews replied, We are not permitted to put anyone to death. This was to fulfill what Jesus had said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, Are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me? Pilate replied, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Pilate asked him, So you are a king? Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Pilate asked him, What is the truth? Jesus is sentenced to death. After he has said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, I find no case against this man, but you have a custom that I release someone for you at Passover. Do you want me to release for you the king of the Jews? And they shouted in reply, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a bandit.
Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there, Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him. When Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, Here is the man. And as soon as the chief priests and the officials saw him, they shouted, Crucify! Crucify! Pilate answered, You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him. The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace. "Where do you come from?" he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me?" Pilate said. "Don't you realize that I have power either to free you or crucify you?" And Jesus answered, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." And when Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which is in Aramaic, is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon. "Here is your king," Pilate said to the Jews. And they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which is Aramaic, is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, with Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture may be fulfilled that said, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciples took her into his home. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of a hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received this drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Now it was the day of preparation, and the next day was to be a special Sabbath. Because the Jewish leaders did not want the bodies left on the crosses, during the Sabbath, they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken down. The soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with Jesus, and then those of the other. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. The man who saw it has given testimony, and his testimony is true. He knows that he tells the truth and he testifies so that you may believe. These things happen so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And as another scripture says, and they will look on the one they have pierced. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. By Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus had brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. And taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in custom to the Jewish burial custom. And at the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was a day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord. And now may there be less and less of me and more of you. These things I pray. Amen. I titled this Broken for Me as the message. Jesus was a Jew, very knowledgeable, but different than the other Jews. He responded when asked who he was to respond with, "I am." Each one of us may have been at a bedside of one that we love that was dying. And in that time, we may have said words that we needed to share with that loved one, telling them how much we love them, giving them a hug, crying, grieving for what we knew was already to come, that the loved one would die. Here in this story, in our passion of Jesus Christ, we may too replay those scenes over and over in our head, and today we reread the story of Jesus' death, this crucifixion. Maybe we would say to ourselves, "I wouldn't do what Judas did." After all, Judas was a disciple that followed him for 3 years, and he was the one that gave Jesus up as the Messiah. Or maybe we would betray Jesus. Are we like Judas? Do we go against what Jesus wants us to do? I believe probably every day we do that. Not thinking about what we do. Or maybe doing that deliberately. Are we like Judas? Maybe we're like Caiaphas. Caiaphas said, "It is better for one person to die for all the people." Maybe we wish death on someone else. Oh, they should pay for what they've done. Do we ever have those thoughts? "I wish this person was gone." Are we like Caiaphas? Maybe we're like Pilate. Pilate went back and forth, going between Jesus and his accusers. "I don't bring any charge against him." But the accusers are saying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate wants to wash his hands of the whole thing. Do you and I want to wash our hands of something that may be occurring? Or do we want to stand up and be a Christian and say, "This is wrong"? Are we like Pilate? Maybe we're like the chief priest. Would we be yelling, "Crucify him? Crucify him?" After all, he was blaspheming. It was a sin, and in that day and in that culture, that would have been enough to be crucified for. But we know that Jesus was telling the truth of who he was. He is the Messiah. He is Jesus Christ. What about putting on those crown of thorns? Would we have put those crown of thorns on him? I was in the Holy Land last November, and we went to a tree that was just outside one of the places where Jesus wept over the city. And on that tree were the thorns that you could pull off and make in to the crown of thorns. And yes, those thorns would have hurt. Do we place that crown of thorns on Jesus today? Going, "Who are you? I don't want your will. I want to do my own thing." Any of us said that before? "I can do this without you." Are we ignoring who he truly is, that he is the Messiah? Where do you and I stand? None of us would have nailed him to the cross. Or would we? We sang earlier, "Were you there when they nailed him to the tree?" We know that was 2,000 years ago. We know we physically weren't there, but folks, Jesus died for our sins, the ones that we do now and the ones that have been done before and those that are in the future that we don't even know about. We nailed Jesus to the tree, you and I. For he died for our sins. He died for our sins. Religious leaders believe that Jesus Christ sinned in his blasphemy. That deserved death. What have we done that Jesus Christ deserved that death? We're going to take a break from the story. And I have nails and hammers. And I'm going to ask each one of us to come forward and to take a nail out of the basket and pick up the hammer for you and I have sinned. We continue to sin. We continue to do things that are against what Jesus wants us to do. You and I nailed him to the cross. Come. Give him your sins that you are bearing even today. For that's why Jesus died. Come. There's two hammers and there's nails. And as those that are listening on the radio know that this may take some break in time, come. Come. And participate. And nail your sin to the cross. You can probably kneel from up here if you want, or you may go down. You can go from this side, or you can go around and kneel, whichever you prefer.
for you. That's for me. Thank you.
Jesus died on that cross because we crucified him. Mary, his mother, stood and looked, and John, his beloved disciple, gave one to each other to take care of Mom. She would lose her son for you and I. Jesus knew the truth. He knew what was going to happen. Did you hear as we read that he kept his composure? I could hardly keep my composure going through this sermon. I was there in November at the skull of Golgotha and wept, knowing what Jesus Christ did for us, for you and I. And to see where he was laid in the tomb. He was wrapped in all those spices and nard and laid in an empty tomb in the beautiful garden full of flowers. They placed him there and shut the tomb. Now come back on Easter morning for the rest of the story. Would you please stand and sing number 294? Alas, and did my Savior bleed? It is tradition, at least for me in the United Methodist Church, if you saw no brass here today because it has no color, we strip the altar, reminding us that Jesus has died for us and there's nothing there. So those who are helping me to strip the altar, if you would please come forward. Linda, carry those to the back. Mm-hmm. day that we remember what Jesus has done for us, let us now ask ourselves, what will we do for Jesus? Go now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.